Now I'm joined on the line by journalist, Irish Independent Journal, or Irish Times journalist, I should say, now Ellen Coyne, who has written a book called Dirty Dancing, The Inside Story of the Irish Dancing Cheating Scandal. Ellen, good morning and thank you for joining us on the Kerry Today programme. This book is based on your scoop a few years ago about what was going on within certain circles in the Irish dancing community.
Yes, that's right. It's a story that I broke in October 2022, which revealed that an Cumhachúin na Roinnigh Gaeilge, which is the biggest and oldest Irish dancing governing body in the world, had been hit with allegations of what's known as fesh fixing. So this is basically the charge that some Irish dancing teachers and judges were liaising with each other and trying to agree the results of Irish dancing competitions before they had even taken place. This story went all over the world and it became the biggest thing to happen to Irish dancing since Riverdance.
And were you surprised by your findings?
I was shocked by it, I suppose, because I was a complete outsider. I didn't really do competitive Irish dancing when I was younger. And I suppose from the outside, Irish dancing looks like such an innocent and innocuous and wholesome sport. But once I started digging into the story and working on it in those early weeks and months, the more people I spoke to, the more I realised that this was a shock, but it wasn't a surprise to those within Irish dancing. And it turns out that there have been allegations and claims and suspicion of cheating in Irish dancing that had actually gone back decades. It's an ultra competitive sport. People have been fighting about Irish dancing for as long as they've been doing it. The book is talking about how there was even stories of people coming to blows at Fechana over 100 years ago over who the rightful winner is. So it's just a very cutthroat competitive world, and it seemed that there was a small cohort of teachers who allegedly, even though they had excellent dancers, didn't want to leave it up to chance on the day. And they wanted to make sure, come hell or high water, that their dancer would be the winner.
And I'm sure we have to put this in context for the majority of people involved in Irish dancing. They do it for the love of culture, mm-hmm. the love of dance, and to pass on their talents, their skills, their teaching to children so that Irish language, the Irish dancing can continue to blossom and flower. And obviously it has reached scales of unimagined popularity since Riverdance over 30 years ago. But I suppose with any group, with any cohort, there will always be people who will want to win and maybe some who will want to win at all costs.
Yes, and I suppose one of the things I learned writing the book is obviously Irish dancing is so important culturally. Like if you go back to the Gaelic revival in the 1920s and 1930s, it really was up there with the GAA in terms of being a native dance and very like politically important. But I suppose CLRG, the Irish dancing body, it kind of exists to do what you described there, like cherish Irish dancing, pass it on to new generations, just enjoy Irish dancing. But from writing the book, I think what I learned is that really from the 1970s on, when they had the first of many world championships, which are like the Olympics of Irish dancing, really, Irish dancing has become obsessed with competition. Like it revolves around competition in a way that obviously we all enjoy the GAA, but you know, if your children are involved, that it's also about participation and just love of native Irish sports. Irish dancing is really, it's an organisation that's all about competition now. And I suppose while a lot of children, the majority of children have a great experience, I certainly would have spoken to some who said that they felt that if a teacher sees that you're not a champion in the making, they can kind of feel like they have no interest in you. So I suppose that's kind of the question I came out of the...
We've lost there Ellen Coyne, the author of Dirty Dancing, The Inside Story of the Irish Dancing Cheating Scandal. Ellen, who's now political correspondent with the Irish Times, when she was with the Irish Independent, I think 3 years ago now, broke this exclusive story in relation to allegations of competition fixing. And we have Ellen back on the line there. Ellen, apologies, we lost you there for a second. Continue.
That's okay.
Continue there.
Yeah, so I suppose the point I was just making is that the question is, you know, would Irish dancing be a better organisation if it wasn't just about competition? And even in Irish dancing, I found there's actually been a big discussion about whether or not it would be better to get rid of the wigs, the dresses, the tan, you know, all of the stuff that your listeners in Killarney will be so familiar with from the All-Irelands descending on the town every February. You know, is that the best advertisement for Irish dancing, really. So yeah, it's just, it's a really fascinating sport and it's a fascinating art form. And I suppose that is the big question, you know, is an obsession with competition potentially doing damage to Irish dancing?
Now, we should say as well that on Comisión Laurinkí Gaelica said back 2 years ago that he would not be pursuing further disciplinary action against individuals accused of wrongdoing at Irish dancing competitions, based on your investigations as well, and that the Irish Dancing Commission, the CLRG, said the decision was taken by Cuista Farr, which is the organisation's ethics committee. So obviously, in terms of what you reported on, has never gone any further after they decided not to pursue further disciplinary action. Ellen, could I ask you though? Could we argue though that what you uncovered in your investigation, that maybe it's just maybe, again, you know, it's an important examination of the culture of one organisation, but maybe it casts a spotlight on Irish society or all of us in general, in the fact that within any sort of sport or cultural group where there's an element of competition, you will always find people who want to win at all costs.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, cheating is definitely not, Irish dancing does not have a monopoly on that. And I suppose the other thing is, when you're talking about the competitive level of Irish dancing, you know, those top 1% of dancers that are on stage in the INEC or in any of the world championships all over the world, they are obviously the top 1%, and the overwhelming majority of them are under the age of 18. And there's a lot of people who get a lot of praise, glory, and indeed money off of the talent of children, really. Like, that's what the world of competitive Irish dancing revolves around. And there's always issues there, and I describe it in the book. People talking about seeing kids, you know, unfortunately, some wetting themselves on stage or getting sick from the pressure that, obviously, kids get into this sport because they love it. Sometimes, though, some are guided into it because their parents love it. And that's not exclusive to Irish dancing either. But you always, I suppose, have to ask those questions when it is children who are the ones who are bearing the tremendous pressure that comes with trying to be a world champion in anything. And I think that the fish-fixing scandal brought some of that to the fore. But as you mentioned, you know, there was 44 people ultimately accused of this. The disciplinary hearings collapsed because CLRG couldn't get a key witness to agree to testify and participate. So unfortunately, you'd people on one side saying, you know, I never got the chance to clear my name, I never got my day in court, if you want to use that sort of phrase. People on the other side saying, you know, if somebody was cheating, then effectively they got away with it. So there's probably an air of suspicion that will always exist in Irish dancing, but by 2025, certainly the sport kind of decided that this had hung over it for nearly 3 years at that point. And for the sake of everybody, in particular the children and the ones who are competing and getting on the stage, it was best for everybody to try to just move on from it, and that Irish dancing tried to survive.
And what conclusions do you draw in your book, Ellen?
Well, I suppose the thing that I thought was interesting was that before this, Irish dancing had been kind of left on its own for nearly 100 years. Like, CLRG is a global organisation, is very famous and it's seen as very powerful, but it's actually a teeny tiny office run by a group of volunteers in a small corner of the North Inner City in Dublin. When the scandal kicked off, the Irish government was very concerned about the reputational damage it would cause, but there's very little oversight that the government has on Irish dancing because it doesn't receive any state funding. So I think it's interesting that something so important, like this massive cultural export, like Riverdance is one of our most world famous and recognisable Irish cultural exports. The fact that it's basically been left to its own devices and allowed to kind of run itself for over 100 years, you know, I was kind of wondering, is this sport not more important than that? And should there be better scrutiny of something that is so important to our culture, to our identity, and to the thousands of children across the country who spend more time with their Irish dancing teacher than they do with their own parents?
Well, very interesting book, and a really captures, I suppose, a culture that in one way, as you said there, Ellen, has been a very much a visible part of Irish life for over 100 years, but another way is maybe it's not as well known about how it runs or how it operates for people not involved in Irish dancing. Thank you very much for joining us. We've been speaking to Ellen Coyne, author of the new book, Dirty Dancing, The Inside Story of the Irish Dancing Cheating Scandal. And if you've any views on this, you can call us on 066 712 3666 or email kerrytoday@radiokerry.ie.